My message today is titled Breaking the Barriers to Fruitfulness and Multiplication in Your Life. Breaking the Barriers to Fruitfulness and Multiplication in Your Life. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The first blessing that God pronounced upon man was the blessing of fruitfulness and multiplication. And there is nowhere in Scripture where God withdrew that blessing. Instead, what you see again and again is where he reenacted the same blessing. The man should be fruitful and multiply. On Thursday, during the service we had, I did tell us that it was not when you got into the womb that you got created. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, God says, before you entered the womb, I knew you. And before you came forth, I set you apart and gave you an assignment. I was asking the question on Thursday, when, therefore, were you created? When were you created? If it was not when you got into the womb that you got created, so when were you created? You were created the same day Adam was created. When God released that life into the mud that he molded and said, man be, when he released that breath and man came alive, that was the day he released your being into Adam. You need to understand that. If you go to the book of Hebrews, for instance, the Bible says that Levi was one of the sons of Jacob, was already in the loins of Abraham when he paid tithe in the book of Genesis chapter 14. That when Abraham paid that tithe in Genesis 14, even though Levi was not yet born, Levi was several years ahead before he was born. The Bible says that when Abraham paid that tithe, Levi paid tithe. So you need to understand this principle. Now, when God put us in the loins of Adam, the blessing he released upon Adam was also the blessing he released upon us. And when he said that if you are born again, you are a seed of Abraham, the blessing he released upon Abraham is also your own inheritance. So when God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, he also blessed you with exactly the same blessing. Be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. I don't think any of those terms need breaking down. Fruitful, made up of two words. Fruit and then full. Be full of fruit. And then multiply. You know, when something multiply, it increases multiple times over. So that is what God says you should be. Be fruitful and multiply. Why? Because it is in being fruitful and multiplying that you will be able to fulfill his agenda for your life or not. It is being fruitful and multiplying that you will be able to fulfill his agenda for you on earth. Look at what he said. He said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That word replenish. And other translations say, fill up the earth. If you are going to fill up the empty places, if you are going to be the solution to people's needs, if you are going to be the one who provides where there's lack, if you are going to be the blessing where people are in need of blessing, if you are going to fill up the emptiness around you, then you need to be fruitful. You cannot fill up the empty places when you are scanty, when you are dry, when you don't have enough. When they said be fruitful and multiply, the reason, first of all, was so that you'll be able to fill up. Remember what he told Abraham? I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. So you are blessed to be a blessing. Then he said, and subdue the earth. He said to subdue the earth. That is to say, take control. And then say, have dominion. That's to say, be in charge. You cannot subdue and have dominion if you are scanty. You see, some people today, they call them mogul. Say, for instance, you see somebody who is in property business. He has a house. And before you know what's happening, he buys another one. Before you know what's happening, he buys another one. And the next thing you know, he has 10 houses. Then he has 20 houses. Then he has 40. He has 50. The whole estate is his house. And then in different parts of the country, you see all the houses that he has. That man automatically dominates the property business. This is a mogul. So you see, that man dominates. He dominates the property market because of abundance, because he has plenty. People like Richard Branson, you look at what they do. They have so many businesses that they dominate. You dominate through fruitfulness and multiplication. You take charge through fruitfulness and multiplication. So when God said to man to be fruitful and to multiply, it's not that he might be able to subdue, he might be able to dominate. You don't dominate with scantiness. You don't dominate with barrenness. You don't dominate with emptiness, with just little. And it is when you dominate that you will be able to take charge. That is when you'll be able to dictate what happened. Look at what happened in the United States election, this election that just went by. Believers prayed. They wanted President Donald Trump to have another term. They prayed. You see prophecy after prophecy that he's going to be the next president. Is he going to have a second term? Eventually, it didn't happen that way. You know why? They were not in the majority. They were not in the majority. If the majority were born again Christian, they would just simply dominate. So I want you to understand that for you to be able to rule and reign and dominate in this life, this blessing must be active in your life. To be fruitful and to multiply, it must be active in your life. And it is a blessing, like I said, that God emphasizes it again and again. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 13, Luke 19, 13, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. If you are going to occupy for the Lord, if you are going to take charge, if you are going to make influence for the Lord, fruitfulness and multiplication are necessary. The early church dominated their world. They literally dominated. It was because they were fruitful and they multiplied. So when we say be fruitful and multiply, what areas of our lives are we talking about? Every area. In every area of your life, financially, you have to be fruitful and multiply. Materially, we have to be fruitful and multiply. Maritally, we have to be fruitful and multiply. Spiritually, we have to be fruitful and multiply. That's the blessing. It's so important that that was the first blessing that God pronounced upon man after man was created. And when we talk of spiritual fruitfulness, God expects you as a believer to be instrumental in bringing other people into the kingdom. It's not enough that you are saved. You've got to be fruitful. You've got to be fruitful to leading others to salvation. It's so vital. It gives definition to your stay on earth when you are bringing others to the Lord, when you are instrumental in helping others to find Jesus. It's so important that we understand that. God wants you to be fruitful. Fruitful. Winning souls. Bringing people into his presence. Bringing people to church. You should take it as a personal assignment. And if you are not fruitful in that area, I will soon tell you what to do. Because we need to be fruitful. It's not a good thing that we are in church, month in, month out, year in, year out, we are not having increase. It shows that we are not being fruitful. We are bringing souls into the house of God is concerned. We are not being fruitful. And that ought to change, and that should change, because that is not the blessing. The blessing is be fruitful and multiply. And when you are doing that, you are not doing any person any favor. You are just being the person God wants you to be. That's what it is. You are being what God wants to be, who God wants to be. You are not doing the pastor any favor. You are fulfilling your destiny to be fruitful and to multiply. That is very, very important. Now, the ability to fulfill God's purpose, like I said on that, is connected to fruitfulness and multiplication. Look at how God reemphasized this again and again. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. Genesis 9, 1. God spoke to Noah and said, Noah and his children, after he had wiped out the entire world, you know what happened after Noah's flood? Every person on earth was wiped out by the flood. Only Noah and his family remained. And then God pronounced this blessing again and said, be fruitful and multiply. Because that's a key. That's a key to becoming what God wants you to be. That's a key to fulfilling God's agenda. Be fruitful and multiply. God pronounced it again upon him. If you look at Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 to 17, you see it again there. After Lot departed from Abram, God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes, look to the north, look to the south, look to the east, look to the west. All the land that you see, I will give it to you. I will make your seed as the dust of the earth. He was pronouncing fruitfulness and multiplication upon Abraham. That's what he was doing. For Abraham to become what he became, he took this blessing, being fruitful and multiplying. If you look at that same Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, you see where God brought Abraham out and said, look up to the sky and count the stars. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. The stars are uncountable, they are innumerable. You see, God was opening his mind and his heart to this fruitfulness. Because that's what God has in mind for every one of us. Abraham could not count them, of course. And God said to him, so shall your seed be. You see. And if you go to Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 5, you see where God said to Abraham, I will multiply you and make you exceedingly fruitful. The same thing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So on and so forth, just continues. You can also look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 16 and 18, where God swore by himself, in multiplying, I will multiply you. In blessing, I will bless you. So it is God's desire that we should be fruitful. If we're ever going to become the persons that God intends for us to be, this last week I was ministering and speaking on the subject, fulfilling your God-given assignment. You can't fulfill it when you are not fruitful, when you are not multiplying, because it takes fruitfulness and multiplication to be able to actually go beyond yourself and achieve what God wants you to achieve. What of Isaac? The same blessing. In Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 and 4, God came to Isaac and said, I will bless you. I will multiply you. Your seed will possess all. You see, that's fruitfulness. It was releasing the same blessing upon him. You look at the case of Jacob, Genesis chapter 28, verses 3 and 4. You see where his father, Isaac, pronounced a blessing upon him and said, be fruitful and multiply. Let God give you the blessing of Abraham, that you should be fruitful and multiply, that your seed should increase. And you go straight to that same chapter, verses 13 and 14, you see where God came to Jacob and said, I will cause you to increase and multiply to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. This same key is so vital, fruitfulness and multiplication. So that if you really want to make any impact in this life, you can't do without it. To be fruitful and to multiply. To be fruitful and to multiply. It is God's eternal trademark to make people that he is blessing to be fruitful and to multiply. If you go to Exodus, for instance, chapter 3, verse 15, you see where God said to Moses, I am the God, Lord God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. This is my name and my memorial to all generations. And one thing that is common with these three people was that God pronounced the blessing of fruitfulness and multiplication upon them. That's one thing you can easily pick up. So God wants you and I to be fruitful and to multiply. But then the enemy fights our ability to be fruitful and multiply. The enemy fights your ability to be fruitful and to multiply. Why does he do it? Because fruitfulness and multiplication is what puts dominion in your hands. And when you dominate, you dispossess him. When you dominate, you dispossess the devil. When you dominate, the devil loses. And so he fights it. Say, for instance, you are fruitful financially, and you begin to build coasters for the prostitutes. You put preachers there who you pay their salary to preach to them and get them saved. You build houses for the homeless, and then you put staff there, you pay the staff. And as those children are growing up, they are being taught the ways of the Lord. And just imagine the impact it will make. A lot of people that would have gone to hell will be in heaven. Say you are paying for television program. Like this, what we are doing right now, what we are sharing right now, can be on television, can be on radio. Supposing you say, I will pay for radio broadcast once every week, for instance, and you are doing that. Just imagine how many people will be hearing the word of God. That's what we are talking about. But if you don't have, you can't do it. And when you are doing that, many people will be hearing the truth, and they'll be turning to God, and the devil knows he's going to lose out. And so he fights it. When God said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply and have dominion, the devil knew he was in trouble. Because he knew that man has been given the authority to rule over him. God did not tell Adam about the devil. But the devil was there somewhere when God was talking to Adam. And so when God gave man the authority to dominate, the devil knew he was in trouble. He has a new boss. God had just appointed a new boss. And that was going to work through fruitfulness and multiplication. So the next plot was to see how to derail this man, how to stop his ability to be in charge. And of course, you know what happened. So the devil fights fruitfulness. He fights it. I want to give you some examples. Do you know that even though God has spoken to Abraham that his seed will multiply and be like the sand that is by the seashore and like the stars that are innumerable, do you know that when Isaac got married, he was hit with barrenness? Isaac was barren. Rebekah was barren. You see that in Genesis chapter 25, verse 21. Rebekah was barren. Who made Rebekah barren? It's not God. God doesn't play games. How could God have given such a fabulous promise to Abraham? And the multiplication God promised Abraham was going to come through his seed. And now Isaac gets married and the wife becomes barren. It was not God, it was the devil. That was an attack. But he broke that attack. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jacob also suffered the same thing. In fact, let's look at that scripture. Genesis chapter 29. Genesis 29. Verse 31. Look at it there. It says, and when God saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Pay attention to that verse. When God saw that Leah was hated, of course, you know, at this time, Jacob had two wives who were sisters. One was Leah, the senior one was Leah. The other one was Rachel. The one that Jacob actually wanted to marry was Rachel. But the senior sister was forced on him as well. Read the whole chapter and you get the story. Now, when people read that, they say God made Rachel barren. No, God did not make Rachel barren. God did not make Rachel barren. He says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. What does that tell you? The womb was closed. The womb was closed before God opened it. You don't open what is not closed. When God saw that Leah was hated, two of them were in the same condition. Their wombs were closed. But when God saw that Leah was hated, in order to compensate her, he opened her womb, but did not attend to Rachel. God was not the one that made Rachel barren. It was not because God was angry with her. No, the enemy already in order to hinder Jacob from becoming what God promised, was fighting his ability to be fruitful and to multiply. He married two wives, two of them were barren. God opened the womb of one, but did not attend to the other one until much later. So you see that Jacob himself was attacked with barrenness. Barrenness is the opposite of fruitfulness. If you are barren, you are not able to produce. Now, if you go to Exodus chapter 1, verses 6 to 16, you see the case. No, I won't read it because of time. I won't read it on your own. You see, the Bible says that the children of Israel were fruitful, and they multiplied, and they increased, and the land was filled with them. And Pharaoh got angry. He sought what he could do to curtail their fruitfulness and their multiplication. And he came up with the idea to punish them, to put pressure on them, to pass them to rigor. Then he told the midwives that whenever any Hebrew woman was giving birth, if the child is a male child, they should kill the child. But if the child was a female, she should live. But the Bible said that those midwives feared the Lord. And then he changed the tactics and told his people, anywhere you see any male child of the Israelites, throw into the river. Why? Why? What crime did the male children commit? Why was it keen on destroying the male children and not the female? Because the male carries the seed. The male carries the seed of procreation and gives it to the woman, his wife. The male is the seed carrier. And the devil knew that if you could destroy the male, there would be no more increase because it would have destroyed the seed. So you see the enemy fighting the seed, fighting fruitfulness and multiplication. You see also the same thing in the life of the apostles. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they fought the early disciples when they began to increase and multiply. You see that in Acts chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. They fought them. They fought them. They chided them. Don't speak in this name any further. They saw the miracle and they said, we know that they have done great miracle, but that this should spread no further to the people. Let's curtail it. And they use all their tactics to try to sabotage what they were doing. You can also look at Acts chapter 5, 14 to 18, as well as 27 to 29. It's all accounts of the desperate effort they made to try to destroy the fruitfulness and the multiplication of a church. So you need to understand that the enemy fights fruitfulness and multiplication. Why does the devil fight the preaching of the gospel? Why does he discourage as much as he can God's people from preaching the gospel? Look at what I said earlier about reaching out to people, winning souls. Why is that hard for believers? It's not supposed to be hard. You know you are saved, you are going to heaven. How come telling others about Jesus becomes an issue? You are in a good church, you hear the word of God, you are blessed all the time. I mean, how come inviting people to church becomes an issue? The enemy will try and discourage you. He will try and make it look as a very big thing. Some of us, the last time we brought somebody to church is 3 years ago, 4 years ago. If you have a tree in your garden that the last time it produced fruit for you was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, how happy will you be? Trees produce every year. Sometimes they produce twice a year. If you have a tree that produced 5 years ago or has never produced any fruit, how happy will you be? Some of us think about, there was one time I took somebody to church. How long was that? How long was that? Why is it that it's such a hard time? Because the enemy tries to fight the gospel. In Romans chapter 1, verses 10, Paul was speaking, say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. The gospel is the seed of life. Mm-hmm. It is the power of God that brings life and salvation to people. If you can get the gospel to people, then you can give them life. If you have family members that are not saved, the best favor you can do for them is to let them have the gospel. I'm not saying you force it on them. Give them tapes. Give them messages. Encourage them to go to church. Encourage them to listen to messages. Tell them what God is doing in your own life, because you are connected to a church where you are receiving the word of God. That's what you should be doing. You should make every effort to make sure that everyone around you is hearing the gospel, because the gospel is the seed of life. It's the seed of life. And yet some of us, we are more concerned that our loved ones are healthy, they have good jobs, they are happy. That's all we think about. We don't think of their eternal life. We don't think of their eternity. We don't recognize the fact that if they don't have Jesus and they die, they are going to hell. That's the truth. So you need to understand that if you want to do somebody a favor, give the person the seed of the gospel. That's the best you can do. You have a friend, you are bosom friends, and you just and talk about everything except the gospel. You don't want to talk about the gospel because you don't want to be the odd man out. You must be ready. You must understand the value of what you carry. It is the seed of life. Tell them about Jesus. So the enemy fights our ability to be fruitful and our ability to multiply. He raises all forms of barriers to hinder us. Question is, how do you break the barriers to your fruitfulness and multiplication? How do you break the barriers? Because that's the subject, breaking the barriers to fruitfulness and multiplication in your life. How do you break the barriers?